giving a voice to the silent majority. This is the Steve Gruber Show. Here's Steve.
Well, if you missed it yesterday, Donald Trump pardoned the Oregon cattle ranchers in the case that sparked that 41-day occupation and standoff at the National Wildlife Refuge, and also resulted in the death of Lavoy Finicum, killed by a state trooper. And if you've watched the video, it is chilling because it looks like he is gunned down intentionally. Lavoy Finicum, killed by a state trooper there. But Donald Trump stepped up to pardon the father and son cattle ranchers in southeastern Oregon who were sentenced to serve prison time on two separate occasions for the same charges, the same allegation of arson on public land, a move that their supporters hail as a shift in how the federal government will now approach the West. So they are hailing what Donald Trump has done here. Trump's decision to set aside the convictions of Dwight Hammond Jr. and Stephen Hammond could well have major implications for how federal officials enforce rules on grazing and other activities on tens of millions of acres owned by, well, you and I. It's federal land, right? So we own it. The two men's return to prison helped spark the 41-day occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge back in early 2016. You remember all of this. The federal agents were there. The standoff at the bridge and armed people on both sides. And then Lavoy Finicum, a rancher who acted as the protesters' spokesman, was killed by a state trooper, murdered during an encounter between the armed occupation group and law enforcement officials, a shooting that led to charges against an FBI special agent, among other things. Sarah Huckabee Sanders said there was an overzealous appeal of the Hammonds' original sentences during the Obama administration, which sent them back to prison, and it was completely unjust. The Hammonds are devoted family men, respected contributors to their local community, and have widespread support from their neighbors, local law enforcement, and farmers and ranchers across the West, so said Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Justice is overdue. Here's what happened. The Hammonds were convicted of crimes that require a mandatory minimum sentence of 5 years in prison. This is why mandatory minimums are a problem. They were convicted under the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996. But the judge in the case said, man, this is not right. He gave 3 months to Dwight Hammond and a year and a day to Stephen Hammond. But the government won an appeal and said, no, they have to serve all 5 years. It was a vindictive pursuit of these guys. It was mean-spirited and vindictive because you know what? Liberals don't like rednecks. They don't. Newsflash. Liberals don't like rednecks. You remember Basketful of Deplorables, right? As a general rule, liberals don't like rednecks. People that like are ranchers and farmers, they're not quite on par with their Ivy League aspirations in the way they see the world, and social justice warriors and environmental justice warriors and justice warriors for this and that. That doesn't fit in very well. The convictions were decried by the people in Oregon and throughout the West. Jerome Rosa, president of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, said in an interview yesterday that the pardon sent a signal that the new administration really does understand the significance and the importance of what the ranching community provides to these Western landscapes. I lived in the West, ranching and grazing, all part of the deal. It never should have come to what it came to. Never. They should pay their bill to use the land to graze. The government should respect their right to do that. It should go back and forth. It never should have escalated to where it did. So Donald Trump, once again, setting aside convictions of those that he believes have been wrongly targeted and abused. Most notably, of course, the first-time offender that was sentenced to life in prison for a drug offense that he pardoned here just a few weeks ago. Great story. Going all the way to Massachusetts now to the fill-in-the-blank protesters. And they're one of their stomping grounds. Officials in Boston are now considering whether or not to allow non-citizens living in the U.S. legally to vote in municipal elections, such as for mayor, council, and other local positions in one of the latest attempts to grant voting rights to those that are not American citizens. This is why it matters, because it comes as the immigration debate is getting more divisive across the country. It will draw new anti-immigration sentiments to the polls as well, because people that don't buy into that, if you're living in Boston, for example, and you have a number of people living there that are not, well, they're not U.S. citizens, do you allow them to vote? Because the bigger question is not whether or not you allow people here with green cards to vote. Maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. You can have that debate. It's a fair debate to have and a great discussion to have. And in fact, in many places, that's the way it always was until about 15 or 20 years ago when that left. And now they're trying to bring that back. But the real question isn't that. The real question is allowing those that are here illegally to vote, which is what some Democrats, in fact, probably most Democrats secretly want, or not so secretly want. That's what they want to have happen. Yeah, 40 states had allowed non-citizens to vote in local and federal elections through the 1920s and some much later. Non-citizens, by the way, are prohibited from voting in federal and statewide elections under federal law. But here's the question that I would ask. If somebody is a non-citizen and they're given the right to vote in a local school board election or a local mayor's race, and so therefore they're registered to vote, who's going to stop them from voting on a federal election? So you go in 2018 and you vote. Well, you're only allowed to vote in these races and not that one. Who's ever going to check that? Who's going to make sure that that's right? You know the answer. Nobody. Once they have a voting card, they're going to vote. They're going to vote. You know it. So do I. That's what's going to happen. That's why you have to keep a close eye on all of these things, and allowing non-citizens to vote is a slippery slope that leads to illegal aliens voting, which is completely inappropriate. 51 after on a Wednesday.